Good morning, Journey. This on screen is a guy named Alex Honnold. I always say it wrong. It's Honnold. And you might know him. He was the first person to free solo climb El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. Now, El Cap is a 3,000-foot vertical face. Think about that, 3,000 feet. That's over a half a mile in height. And he climbed it free, meaning he had no support. He had no ropes. He had nothing to prevent him from falling. And solo, meaning by himself. And his accomplishment is kind of outlined in the documentary, Free Solo. And I think about the idea of climbing a 3,000-foot vertical face. And my hands get sweaty just thinking about what that would feel like without ropes. But my favorite part of the documentary is they dive in to a medical exam that Alex goes through. And in the scope of this exam, they actually do a brain scan. And what they're specifically looking at is his amygdala. The amygdala part of your brain is a little almond space behind your ear, and it basically is the thing that determines your fear reactions, whether your blood pressure spikes, whether your hands get sweaty, all those types of things. Well, in Alex's exam, they realize that his amygdala does not function like our amygdalas do. He doesn't actually have a biological response to fear. When he's put in situations that the rest of us would have sweaty palms and high blood pressure, he is cool as a cucumber, no response at all. And it gets me kind of thinking, what would life be like if we walk through day by day and we did not have a fear response to the things that are going on around us? What if we were able to just be cool as a cucumber like Alex is as he's climbing a 3,000-foot vertical space? The challenge we have is that our amygdalas work, right? And so we get that response. We lose our composure or we lose our frame of mind. But what if we could get away from that? It's funny because I say, what if we could get away from that? And the thing that's most common to cause a fear response in your life is when you begin to ask that question, what if? What if this appointment doesn't go the way I thought it was going to go? What if that relationship isn't going to go this way? What if this happens? What if that? When we start to play the what if game, we actually raise our own fear levels. But I ask again, what if we could go through our lives and just walk with the joy and contentment that is everything around us and not have the fear that we often face? To dive into that thought, we're going to jump into Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a really common psalm. It's something that many people have experienced and been a part of, whether it be in times of trial or different things going on in life. If you ever go to a funeral, it feels like every funeral, Psalm 23 is spoken of. It's a prayer of David, and I'm going to read it for you right now. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What I want to propose to you is that the key to living a life outside of fear is found in the opening statement of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a really simple statement. And if we were to have like a theological debate, no one would raise their hand and say, oh, I don't know if that's true theologically, that Jesus is my shepherd. But the problem we have as Christians, I put my hand up first, the problem I have as a believer is that the things that I believe, the things that I intellectually know to be true, like the Lord is my shepherd, aren't always the things that I practically live out and show to be true by my actions and my words and the way that I handle my life. And I believe if we can bridge that gap, if we can make the gap between what we believe and what we actually do narrower, we can live this fearless life under our good shepherd. So unpack the idea of a shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, then that has some natural ideas that flow from it. First of all, it means I'm a sheep. If any of you have been around sheep or you know anything about sheep, sheep are not the brightest animals. And yet, throughout Scripture, consistently, we are called sheep. I don't know how that plays out for you, but that's the reality of it. We are called sheep. So what does sheep do? Well, sheep need to follow their shepherd. Sheep need to follow their shepherd. But the shepherd also has to lead the sheep. The shepherd has to care for the sheep. Sheep have all kinds of issues. They get things in their wool that has to be pulled out. They have issues with bacteria. They have issues with bugs. And the shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep as they go through all these things in life. Sheep are at their best when they listen to the shepherd. The shepherd knows the green pasture, the place to go. The sheep often wander and kind of go do their own thing. Sound familiar? It's kind of what we do. But when we as sheep listen to the shepherd, it allows us to walk a life that is fearless. What do we do often? Sheep wander, they scatter. So like actual sheep, if they're in a big group around the shepherd, the outside sheep might sense fear. They might sense a predator. They might sense something that makes them scared. And what do? They turn and run to the shepherd. No, that's not what sheep do. Sheep run away from the shepherd. They scatter out and they just run in any random direction. They don't actually even have a plan to avoid the danger. They just run. And what does the next layer of sheep do that are closer to the shepherd? They see the other sheep run and scatter, and they panic and run and scatter as well. You see, the tendency for sheep is not to turn to the shepherd to find safety. The tendency of sheep is to run and scatter and actually create distance between themselves and their shepherd. We do the same thing. You know, we get scared about things in life. We get scared about our health or our safety. We get worried about our jobs and our finances, our family, our friends, just everything that goes on in our lives. We have this natural response of fear, and we say, what if, and scatter to the winds. One of the things that I noticed as I was thinking about this and praying about this is it seems to me that there's kind of two normal reasons why people live a life of fear. Number one is that they have the wrong shepherd altogether, that their shepherd isn't reliable, their shepherd isn't able to do for them what a shepherd needs to do. And number two, for those that have the right shepherd, there's still a tendency to not actually believe. It's that difference between belief and do. Actually believe that our shepherd has our best interests at heart. And so I want to unpack those for a second. The idea that we would have a wrong shepherd. And this is something that happens to me every week. Every week, I come into a situation where I decide I'm going to be the shepherd of my life and I'm going to make the decision for myself. I just cannot break the habit of, oh, I think that's a good idea. I think I'm going to go in that direction. And I don't seek the wisdom of my shepherd. I listen to that inner voice that is my voice, not his voice in my life. And I think about, there was this Diet Coke ad not long ago, and the Diet Coke ad was like, you do you. And I'm like, that is literally the worst advice you could give somebody. Like, we all have a tendency and a propensity to do the thing that's actually in our worst interest, not our best interest. We can't help ourselves. Like, that's just some of the sin nature of fallen world as we deal with it. And so when we make ourselves the shepherd of our lives and try and follow our own wisdom and knowledge and certainty, it's so common that we take a wrong turn. And then we get on that bad road and we take another turn and another. And at some point we stop and we're like, how did I get here? Well, the way we got there is we followed the wrong shepherd. We followed ourselves. Another way that the wrong shepherd approaches us is maybe if we're not following ourselves, we follow other things in our lives. We follow our jobs. We follow our finances. We follow our media or social media. We follow our political party. We follow things and people that don't even know us. They don't even know our best interests, and yet they say things that we find attractive, and we take a step and another step, and before we know it, we've left our shepherd in the background, and we're chasing something that isn't in our best interest. If you're uncertain, do I follow the good shepherd or do I follow another shepherd? I think a really good question to ask yourself is, what is the loudest voice in my life that I listen to? What's the thing that takes up more time in my life that I am listening to that is programming my mind to follow them? You know, that could be any form of media, it could be people, it could be a lot of things, but that is what we do. Am I listening even to myself? Is that the loudest voice in my life, my own voice? But that is how we can identify, am I following the wrong shepherd? Now, for many of us, we are following the right shepherd, but if we're real honest, if we get real quiet for a minute and we really think about it, often when we're following the right shepherd, we don't always truly believe that he has our best interests at heart. And then that leads us to take our own path or follow another path. If we want to know, are we following the right shepherd and fully following him the way he would have us follow him, I point to Psalm 23. So I'm just going to walk through it. Verse 1, it says that the good shepherd makes me lack nothing. The good shepherd makes me content. Am I content? Because if I'm following the good shepherd and I am fully engaged with the good shepherd, I will be content. I will lack nothing. I will be comfortable with the circumstances. They may not be perfect, but I will be comfortable where I am because the good shepherd has me where he wants me in this moment at this time, and I'm okay with that. You think of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Why did Jesus teach us to pray that? I mean, I won't answer definitively, but I will say, I think one thing that comes to mind for me is the idea of, if we say to God, just provide for me what I need today, we give him the opportunity to prove his faithfulness tomorrow. If we were to say to God, I want you to provide me bread for the next 365 days, I've taken away the opportunity for me to step in faith with him to be provided. And in our world, it's really hard to say, give us this day our daily bread, because we've got refrigerators and freezers full of food, pantries full of food. But the idea, even if you ignore the practicality of food, is I need to give God the opportunity to prove his faithfulness. And when he does, that provides the confidence that I'm safe, that I do not have to live in fear because I lack nothing. Verse 2 says that the shepherd makes me lie down. If your shepherd, if the voice you are following in life does not make you do things you don't want to do, I would question if you're following the right shepherd. The good shepherd makes me do things I don't want to do. He makes me have conversations I don't want to have. He makes me love people I do not want to love. Amen? Like, that is what the good shepherd does. He molds us into his image. If we are our own shepherd, what image are we going to bear? We're going to bear our own image. The good shepherd makes me do things I don't want to do. Have you ever read scripture and come across something like, I don't like that? I don't want to follow that. If I'm following the good shepherd, he makes me lie down. He makes me do stuff I don't want to do. That's part of how we know if we're following the good shepherd the right way. Verses 2 and 3 talk about that the shepherd leads me and he guides me. The shepherd knows the path forward and he is leading me along that path. He is my guide. He is the one I am following as a sheep, right? I'm not leading him to where I want him to go. I am following him to where he wants me to go. That allows for me to feel safe, because I'm on the path that he has laid out for me. Real sheep with real shepherds. In the springtime, they leave the farm and they head out into the valleys. And they graze in the valleys and they eat in the valleys. But the shepherd knows, as the spring turns into summer and the heat index rises, that he needs to take them to higher altitude to keep them cool. And so he has a plan, a path, a day, a moment that he starts to lead him in the mountains. If you're the sheep, do you want to climb the mountain? No, I want to sit here fat and happy in the valley. This is like easy. This is good. But the shepherd has a plan and a path. And then as the summer ends and the fall comes, he brings us back down into the lowlands and we graze in the lowlands. And eventually in the winter, he puts us in the farm, in the pen, and keeps us safe. Part of our safety, part of our lack of fear comes from the fact that we're willing to follow his lead and not be the ones leading him. It says in verse 3 that he refreshes my soul. This one throws me off a little bit, because if I need refreshing, that means I'm worn down. That means I'm tired or fatigued. As a Christian, isn't life supposed to be just like easy, just rainbows and sunshine? Apparently not. Apparently, he's saying, I'm going to need refreshment. I'm going to need to be lifted up when I'm worn down. Like, if I'm following a shepherd and I don't ever need refreshment, I need to figure out if I'm following the right shepherd. The shepherd knows I will need refreshment. It's one of the things I love about Christianity. One of the things I love about our faith is that it is very real to life. Like, who in here is not tired? Who in here at times is not in need of refreshment? Like, that is a given in life. And Christianity doesn't hide that. It doesn't say, oh, it's just going to go great for you. No, you're actually going to need refreshment. Life's going to wear you down. It's going to be tough. That's actually the promise, the guarantee, and that we get to live in. But in that, if we have the right shepherd, if we trust the shepherd, he will refresh us in that. Next verse says that he comforts me. He comforts me. Once again, if he comforts me, I need to be comforted. That means something's off, right? I've got pain or struggle in my life. I need someone to comfort me in that moment. That's just so real. Like, that is what life is about, is these ebbs and cycles and the things that we go through and the good and the bad. But when the bad comes, is the shepherd there to comfort us? He is, if it's the right shepherd. It says in verse 5, he prepares a table for me. Like, that has the imagery of, like, we sit down to a meal together. Like, he's present in my life, in my daily life. He's there. Give us this day our daily bread. There he is. He prepares a feast for us to sit down and engage with him at. It says in verse 5 that he anoints us. The anointing is something in the Old Testament that refers to we have his favor. He cares for us. In actual sheep world, like with real sheep and shepherd, the anointing of oil, it keeps the bugs off of the faces of the sheep, the things that drive them to scatter and live that fearful life. Like, God gives us this imagery that he has our favor. We are his. He cares for us. Verse 6 says, he follows me and he dwells with me forever. Again, his presence. Do I feel the presence of my shepherd as I go through my daily life? If you don't feel his presence, it's pretty likely that you're going to have some fear. But if you feel that peace that comes from being in relationship with God, that fear can subside if you trust in him. But you also got to know who he is, right? You've got to be in relationship. That's got to be a who is he? We got to know the answer to that question. Makes me think about when we go on planes. How many of you have ever had this thought? You sit down on an airplane. I'm a little bit weird. I have this thought like all the time. I sit down on an airplane and I'm like, who's flying? Who's that guy or gal up there? Like, are they competent to do what they're about to do? Like, are they having a bad day? Like, did they just have a fight with their spouse? Or, you know, were they on a binger last night? Like, I don't know a thing about that person in the cockpit. And yet, I just sit down and buckle my seatbelt and trust we're going to get there. That's kind of how we walk through life sometimes when our shepherd is off. But what if you knew the pilot? This is AJ. AJ was one of my roommates in college. I know AJ. I can tell you about AJ. AJ is the perfect guy that you want as your pilot. He flies for a major U.S. airline, but he is a guy that is like ultra attention to detail, right? He's got the risk tolerance of nothing. Like, he has no risk tolerance whatsoever. He is so conscientious. AJ dots all his I's and crosses all his T's to the extreme. He's a perfectionist. Like, if you think about that checklist, the pre-flight checklist that pilots have to go through, I know, I have full confidence AJ is going through that checklist and he is making sure everything is absolutely where it needs to be. That's AJ. I know him. He's my pilot. If he's my pilot, I'm safe. If Jesus is my shepherd and I know who he is, I really, really know him and I engage with him, can I have that same peace and calm in the midst of everything that's going on in life because I know my pilot, I know my shepherd? Tim Keller said in his book, The Reason for God, it's not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that saves you. If I was back on that plane and I put on a parachute and I was telling everybody, I am so confident in this parachute. I believe in this parachute. But the flight crew is telling me, well, that parachute happens to have a 4-foot hole right in the middle. It will not hold your weight. Do not jump out of this plane in that parachute. And I said, nope, I believe in this parachute. It's going to be a quick trip down and a really fast stop, right? Like, just because I believe in something really strongly does not mean it is the right thing to believe in and it will save me. It is critical that I believe in the right thing. So whoever my shepherd is, I have to make sure that I know my shepherd and I believe that my shepherd has me. That allows me to take my intellectual theology and put it into practice and walk a life that lacks fear. Moses was a guy that was a shepherd. Moses knew God. Moses engaged with God. He had relationship with God. As Moses' time on earth is ending, he is handing the baton of leadership of the people of Israel to Joshua. And he speaks before the entire nation of Israel. And he knows that they are about to be attacked from all sides, from all different nations. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Did you know that fear not or do not fear is mentioned 365 times in the Bible? That is a cool coincidence. We could read a verse a day on do not fear, do not be fearful. But what Moses is saying to the people of Israel is, I know my shepherd. I know he has our back. I know things may get a little hairy with these nations about to attack us, but in the midst of that, I want you to stand firm. Do not fear. Be courageous. That is Moses' charge to the people. Now, in all of this, as we know him, remember who we're talking about here, the one who created everything, the God of the universe, the God who put things into motion across the galaxy, who cares about us as individuals. He wants to be our guide. He wants to be the one to lead us. And again, here is where, again, that what I believe and what I do comes into conflict. Do I want to follow that leader? Do I want him to be my guide? If we're really honest, like I really think at least half the time, what I really would prefer God do is be a little bit more like a magic genie than God. And what I mean by that is, like, I got most things. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm going to make this work. I've got my path figured out because I want to be my own shepherd. But when things kind of get hairy, God, could you come out this bottle really quick? Like, things are not good. I need to be praying to you. I need your help right now. And what I need God to do is I need him to obey my commands. I need him to do what I want him to do. Like, that's kind of how we actually live it out more often than not. And again, I'm putting my hand up. I'm saying that's me. I do that far too much compared to what I want. But what God wants is to be God in your life. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to tell you where to go. He wants to drive you forward in life. He wants to change you, not you change him. If you look at Psalm 23:4, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Some translations, probably ones that a lot of us are really familiar with, say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know what that means? You're going to walk through valleys. It's a promise. You're going to walk through valleys. It's a given. We would like, if we got to draw the rules up, it would be mountaintops all the time, man. Rainbow and sunshine, no challenges or problems. Life is smooth sailing. But Scripture tells us, you will be in the valleys. So what's the promise? He'll be there with you. That's what David says. I fear not. Why? Not because David had a great plan to get through the valleys. Not because David didn't ever have the cancer diagnosis. Not because David never had fractured relationships. Not because David was ever struggling financially. David would not fear because he was with me. The Lord is with me. I trust him. I can rely on him. And it's weird because the valleys that come kind of come for a couple of reasons, right? Sometimes the valleys come because I do stupid stuff. I create my own valley, right? I take the turn and bam, I'm in the ditch. That's sometimes on me, but he's with me in that valley. Sometimes the valleys are just circumstances that are out of my control. I had no, like, you know, it just happened. Like, just life, right? No one like signed up to get X disease or X thing. Just happened. But he's there then too. That's the beauty of it. He's in the valleys all the time, whether we got ourselves in the valley or whether we're just in the valley, because that's just how life works out. But it's really important for us to understand that there are valleys. Don't think because you're a Christian, you get to live on the mountaintops. Are there mountaintops? Yeah. There are mountaintops and they're great, but they have a tendency to last for a shorter time than the valleys. I think we'd all agree with that. The valleys are harder, but he's with us in the valleys. If the Lord is my shepherd, and I don't just believe that, but I actually practice that, I can take a deep breath in the valley. It's not any fun, but I can live in the valley. I can do that. If you think about having the wrong shepherd in the valley, that's when things really get bad. If this guy is your shepherd in the valley, it ain't gonna be good, right? You're like in New York City in the worst neighborhood, worst alley at night, and that guy's, you know, singing Christmas carols in your ear or whatever it is. Like, that's not gonna help. You gotta have the right shepherd when you're in those valleys. Psalm 23, verse 5 says this: you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why I gotta be in the presence of my enemies? Why can't he prepare a table for me on the beach down in Cancun? That's where I want my feast. Feel me? Why would he prepare the feast, the meal for us to share when my enemies are all around me? In the moment that I least wanna eat, right? When I have that fear, when you're fearful and things are not good, you don't wanna eat. But that's what Scripture says. Like, he wants to be with us around our enemies. He wants to be our guide and our comfort. He wants to refresh us in the moment we're surrounded by our enemies in the darkest valleys. That's the good shepherd that we have the opportunity to engage and have relationship with should we choose to take that opportunity up. So even though my amygdala works, if I can trust the right shepherd, and I can actually live that out, if I can allow him to guide me and lead me and comfort me and refresh me, I can walk day by day and I can live outside of fear. Doesn't mean my circumstances aren't gonna be terrible. Doesn't mean the finances are getting better. Doesn't mean whatever, but that's my opportunity, that I have a chance with Jesus as my shepherd to walk a life without fear. So let me bring it forward to Jesus. We've been talking about Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. Let me bring it forward to the New Testament. Jesus is getting close to the point that the religious leaders are gonna get him on the cross and they're gonna execute him. And in that moment, he's having a conversation with them. And he tells them they're spiritually blind, which I love the fact he does that. But then he says this in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We are the sheep. You think about all those shepherds that I mentioned before. None of them will lay down their life for you. I got news for you. You won't lay down your life for yourself. Your job, your company, your business, whatever it is, it ain't laying down its life for you. It's gonna go on long after you leave. Your political party, it's gonna be here for decades after you're gone. It's not gonna lay down its life for you. Your finances, not gonna do it. Only one shepherd will lay down his life for you. Only one shepherd has laid down his life for you. And that is the good shepherd. Jesus alone died. And why did he die? He died because we had broken relationship with God and that he wanted to restore that relationship. Give us every opportunity to step across the line of faith and put our trust in him that he might become the good shepherd of our life, the guide, the leader, the one who knew how to lead us around. And the crazy thing to me is he did that. If you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't have that in my life right now, he wants to do that with you, but he wants to do that knowing all the junk that is in your past. He wants to do that knowing all the garbage that is around you in your current situations. Yet he still wants to stand in that valley with you in this moment and be in relationship with you. And when he does that, if you make that choice to allow him to do that, that stuff's still there. You're still gonna be in the valley. The enemies will still surround you. This is not a ticket out. But what it is a ticket to having the God of the universe with his hand on your shoulder in that moment. Someone to be with you and make you safe, make you loved, make you free of fear. And why are you free of fear? Because you're in the presence of the King of Kings in that moment. So Jesus isn't your shepherd today at this moment. But as we've been discussing what a shepherd might look like in your life, and you realize that you're not doing a great job as your own shepherd, or these other things in your life are not being great shepherds, and you think, I might want Jesus to be the shepherd of my life, I'd like to give you an opportunity here in a second. We're gonna have a worship song, the band will come back out, and we're gonna have one more song. And in that moment, while we're singing, you might just reflect, do I need a different shepherd? Do I need a different direction in my life? And as you reflect on that, if you get to that point, after this song, I'll give you an opportunity to act on that. So the band's gonna come out, I'm gonna pray, and then we are gonna close up. Father God, I pray that you would be the shepherd in our lives. And I don't mean the shepherd theologically, I don't mean mentally or intellectually that you're our shepherd. I pray, God, that you would break in us the things that make us want to be our own shepherd, the things that draw us away from you, the things that we pursue of our own volition that are not of you. I pray, God, that you would break us, that you would, your spirit would raise up in us in this moment during this song, what we need to do, where we need to change, what we need to hand back to you. Lord, I pray that you would be the shepherd of our life. Jesus, I am so thankful that you died on that cross to give us this opportunity of relationship and fellowship with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.